that I want to kick off, and it's kind of a new series to kick off the new year, even though we're a Sunday or so into the new year. And the title of this series is just Focused. And it comes from an idea and a thought from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. So if you have a Bible and you want to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, you can. Some of these verses will also be in the bulletin if you want to pull the outline out. But the first few verses of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And in that chapter, it tells us to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You know, when we are facing circumstances that are difficult, situations that sometimes just feel overwhelming, we want to learn to take our eyes off of those situations and off of those circumstances and focus our eyes not on the circumstances, but focus our eyes on Jesus. And so we're going to be spending most of our time studying just three verses, those verses from chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. At least that's going to be our starting place, our foundation for what we're going to be looking at in this series called Focused. In other words, that'll be kind of our base camp, and then we're going to spread out from there to learn some other things in the next 6 weeks. And we're going to encourage each other, we're going to challenge each other not to give up, but to keep going on, to hold on, to do what God wants us to do. So that over the course of this year, we can set a focus and set a course for what God wants us to do. You know, as with most years, and I look back over last year, I don't do as much counseling as I did at one time in the church. But I still have a lot of opportunities to talk to people about events, about their lives, about things going on in their life. And so I sit down and listen to them. As a matter of fact, the guys at work oftentimes come into my office and they'll sit down and we'll talk about things that are happening in their life, struggles they're having, or things that are going on. And we'll just sit down and talk about some of those things. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there are really two approaches that I could probably take to talking to most people, because most people need to hear exactly the same thing. One of the approaches that I could take is an approach kind of like the Mr. Rogers approach. You know, the Mr. Rogers' approach is the guy that's soft-spoken, he's got his sweater on, and they come in and they begin to tell their problems or things that are going on, and you say, you know, I'm just so sorry for what's going on. I'm sorry for what's happening. And you know, life is hard, but I'm sure it's all going to work out, and just keep going on a little bit, and it's going to be okay. And sometimes that may be appropriate. But there are other times, and probably most of the time, you need to be kind of like William Wallace from Braveheart. You remember the movie Braveheart? And William Wallace, and he had on that pain on his face, and William Wallace was the guy that says, get in there and stay with it, and you can do it, and don't quit, and keep going on. And sometimes that's exactly what people need to hear. They need to hear that they just need to keep going on. They just need to keep doing it. They need to stay in there. They need to stay focused. And with God's help and God's power, we can do just that. And I've discovered that really that's the message that most of us need to hear. It's a message that simply says, hang in there, stay in there, you can do it. Stay in the game, fight, the fight isn't over. You're not by yourself, you're standing with others and God is standing with you. You can do this by the power of God. Don't give up, keep going, don't stop, hang on, hold fast. And isn't that what most of us need to hear most of the time? Some encouraging words that just goes, come on, you can do it. And really, that's what we're going to look at in this whole series. We're going to find strength in God to have the faith to persevere, to hold on, to keep going. And I know for a lot of people that they have all kinds of different voices in their heads, pushing them in all sorts of different ways. Some of them may say, you ought to just let go and give up. Just forget about it. Nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to be just like this. It's too late. God doesn't care anymore. You don't deserve the better things in life. You're just stuck where you are. But the voice we need to hear is the voice that says, you can do it. Somebody's out there on your side. Somebody's standing with you. The Lord is with you. He wants to take care of you, and He wants you to persevere. And really, that's what the first three verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews are saying. Listen to these verses and follow along as I read them. The writer says this, therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You know, the implication is that these readers are growing weary. They're getting weary in their faith. There are things that are just coming in, and they're having a tendency to lose heart. And the Hebrew writer knows that's what's going on. And so he writes to them, and he knows that they're beginning to lose faith, and he says, hold on. Hold on to the things that are important. Hold on to the things that you know. And you know, as we go through this series, we're going to look at some ways that he says to hold on. Some ways that he says, you need to look at this, and this will help you to hold on to the faith. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to look at what he says, because he says, I want you to look at the past. In looking at the past, it will help you to hold on. See, verse number 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I want you to look at some words in there. The first word in the whole thing is the word therefore. What does that word do? It points us back. It points us to something that came before what he has just written. Well, what's before chapter 12? Chapter 11, right? Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews is sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. Chapter 11 tells us one story after another of people who have run the race and they've had faith and they've held on. The circumstances have been tough. They've been in hard situations, but they held on to the faith. And therefore, he's pointing us back to that chapter to look at those people that he has already described in chapter 11 to see how they held on in tough times. There's another word in the verse. It is the verse, or it's the word cloud. The word translated cloud's not talking about those little puffy things we see going on in the sky. It's actually talking about this all-encompassing group around us. There is this cloud around us. All of you know that I fly, and I fly quite a bit. Sometimes when I fly, I'm able to get above the clouds, and there's just this whole field of clouds below me. And it's gorgeous to look at some of those. Matter of fact, I have some of the prettiest pictures. Well, sometimes I'll have to put them on the screen just so you can see them. I have some of the prettiest sunrises where the sun is coming up over the clouds, and I'm above the clouds, and it is incredibly beautiful. But there are other times that I'm not able to get above the clouds. And so I'm actually flying in the middle of the clouds. You can barely see the wingtips sometimes. The clouds are so thick. And you look all around and you are encompassed by the clouds. You can't really tell without looking at instruments whether you're up or down or right or left or what you're doing. There is this all-encompassing sense about the clouds. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about this cloud that was commonly used as a metaphor to describe the large group of people, describe this multitude of people just kind of surrounding you. Have you ever been to Kings Island or maybe Disney World on one of those busy, busy days of the year? And when you go there, you feel like you can hardly even move because of all the people. That's the kind of cloud he's talking about. There are people all around us, and he says, look, don't grow weary. There is this cloud of people around you who are, and here's the third word I want you to catch out of this, who are a witness. A witness is not just someone who sees, but a witness is someone who speaks up about what they have seen. And so the Hebrew writer might be saying this, we are surrounded by a cloud of people who have gone before us, and they're all speaking to us, and they are all around us. They're saying something to us. And what are they saying? This is what they're saying. Here's one example. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. See, that's one of those individuals in this cloud of witnesses. Abel's in heaven, but what's he still doing? He's continuing to speak. He's continuing to have something to tell us. And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, I'd encourage you to read through that chapter sometime and look at this cloud of witnesses that he's talking about. And I want to give you some more examples that help to encourage us to stand firm, to hold on, even when it's tough. Noah is an example that he uses. You look at Noah in chapter 11, verse 7 of the book of Hebrews. And it says, Noah by faith, when warned about things not seen. In other words, Noah was warned what was going to come, that there was going to be a flood that was come. But guess what? Noah had never, ever seen rain. To this point in time, it seems as though it had not rained. So when God said, you know, I'm going to bring this water out of the sky and up from the earth, Noah was kind of going, you're going to do what? Because he had never seen anything like that. But he was warned that something was going to happen. And it goes on to say, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. So what did he do? By faith, he did what God called him to do. Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? 120 years to build the ark. Now, if you've ever done a remodel project, guys, if it took you 120 years, you think your wife would put up with it that long? Probably not. As a matter of fact, that is a major project, 120 years, just to get this boat built. Think about that. Here he is building a boat, 120 years. I mean, not only would he have to have his family stand behind him to get it done, but he would have to have a lot of fortitude just to stay there and do it. And the people outside were looking at Noah going, what are you doing? And laughing at him and ridiculing and criticizing him. They were discouraging him because of what he was doing. And can't you imagine Noah just going to the people and going, hey, one of these days you're going to be sorry. Because it's going to start raining and it's going to flood. And they're going, it's going to start what? Rain? What's rain? Can you imagine the things that Noah must have gone through when he was building this ark? But he was faithful to God. He must have gotten somewhat tired building the ark, don't you think? He must have gotten somewhat tired of the people ridiculing him. He must have become somewhat tired in 120 years with what he was doing. But he held the course. There are a lot of stories in the Old Testament that underline that same idea, that God is rarely early, but he is never late. His timing is always perfect. And so faith, I think Noah would say, faith is something that causes you at times to wait. There are times where you just have to wait on God. And in that waiting, you build your faith. It's where you're not really sure how long it's going to be. You're not really sure how long it's going to take. But you continue to be obedient to God in all that he wants. You continue to look and say, this is where God's taking us. You see, it's not my calendar that God's looking at. It's his calendar that he's looking at. And sometimes in this process, we're tempted to give up because we're supposed to look and say, okay, I'm going to do this now, and it's going to come together now. But God may be saying, wait a minute, that's not my timetable. We may be saying, yeah, but I can do this, this, and this, and this. But God says, wait a minute, I'm not sending the rain yet. It's not time yet. And we're going, but I've got all these plans made, and all this is coming together, and it looks good. And God goes, yeah, but it's not time. You aren't quite ready. You haven't sealed the ark yet. It's not going to float yet. You see, if we learn a lesson from Noah, the lesson we learn is a lesson that says, sometimes in our faith, we have to wait. Sometimes in our jobs, we have to wait. Sometimes in our family, we have to wait. Sometimes when things are going wrong, we may be praying and we think, God, can't you just take care of this and fix this? And God's still saying, you have to wait. There's a second example I want to give you, not just Noah, but Abraham and Sarah. If you look in chapter 11, you see them brought up in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went. even though he did not know where he was going. You see what's taking place? Here's Abraham. God told Abraham to pack up everything he had and to go to a different country, different place to live, a place he had never been before. As a matter of fact, it was a place he didn't even know where he was going. Can you imagine just picking up and having God, the sense of God, saying, I want you to move and go west. And you go, okay. And you just pick up everything, you load it in the trailer, and you start off. That's exactly what Abraham did. And Abraham goes, where am I going? God says, I'm not ready to tell you yet. And even on the trip, Abraham says, okay, God, where are we heading? God says, I'm not ready to tell you yet. Just keep going. And Abraham went without knowing where he was going. That takes faith. And for some of us, that's the situation we may be in exactly right now. We're trying to be obedient to God. We're trying to follow Him. We're trying to do what He wants us to do. He's called us and said, here's what I want from you. But He hasn't laid the whole picture out yet. He hasn't painted everything so we understand everything that's going on yet. He's just saying, I want you to move in this direction by faith. I want you to move in the way I'm calling you by faith. And then look at verse 11. Not only Abraham, but it says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So here's Abraham. God says, I want you to go. And of course, Sarah, his wife, is going to go with him. And she has a promise of a son. Except she is old and she knows that she cannot have children. But she finds out she is supposed to be the mother of a great nation. She's going to have a son, the father of this great nation. But the Bible says that she was barren. But the Hebrew writer says that she had faith. She trusted in the promise. She was faithful. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She didn't know how God was going to take this and make it happen, make it so. But she followed in faith. And so the challenge then is not giving up when you don't know what's going to happen. And when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, the challenge is to keep moving in the direction that God is sending you. I think sometimes we have the fear of the future, don't you? We have the fear of what the future is going to hold. And we don't know what it's all about. And sometimes even that paralyzes us. We feel a little safer where we are. We feel a little safer the way we know things. We feel a little safer the way things are today. But God is saying, take a step, move a little more. And we feel uncomfortable because we don't know exactly where that step's going to take us or exactly how that step's going to come together. But God says, move. You know, the first part of Hebrews chapter 11 says this, faith is being sure of what you hope of and certain of what you do not see. That's faith. That means sometimes we move even without knowing. Have you ever watched the downhill Olympics, the skiing in the Olympics, where the downhill skiers go on that track? I did not know this. I just recently learned this. They are not actually able to run that track until they run it in the race. I actually pulled up the Olympic rules and read the rules. And the rules say, and they're very specific, they can go out and look at the track. They can walk up the side of the track. They can even slowly ski down right beside the track, but they can't get on the track. They cannot go through the gates. They cannot actually run the track. They have to have their number on when they are looking at the track. As a matter of fact, they cannot even kind of go down the side of the mountain like they were on the track. So in other words, they can't go down over here with the track here and kind of do the slalom kind of like they would see the track. They can just slowly go down or they can step up the hill, but they can't actually look at the track. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that. And so the first time they ever get on the track is when they are on for the race. And so those who are going fourth and fifth down the line have an advantage. And the advantage is their teammate has already gone down the track. And they can call back to the top and say, hey, watch this gate. This gate's tight. You have to make sure you're in this place because if you're not, you're going to miss the gate. That's kind of what we're talking about here. We have some places in life where we can't run them until we are actually running them for real, until we're actually going down through the race. But because of this cloud of witnesses that's gone before us, they're calling back to us going, it's okay, you're going to come through. God's going to be faithful. He's going to show you what to do. Look out here, be aware here. And we can learn some things from them. So Abraham and Sarah, I think they would say to us, even if you don't know where he's leading, even if you don't know when you're going to get there, and even if you don't know how it's going to happen, don't lose faith. Keep running the race. There's a third one, if you go look back to Hebrews chapter 11, that the writer brings out, and that's Joseph. In chapter 11, verse 22, it says, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. See, verse 22 tells us that Joseph is a part of this cloud of witnesses. He had this dream, and he thought he knew what life was going to be all about. And then all of a sudden for Joseph, his life falls apart. Remember the story, don't you? Joseph was the guy that had the coat of many colors. He went out to see his brothers. His brothers were jealous of him. They captured him. They actually put him in a pit. They decided that when they saw this caravan going by, they were going to pull him out of the pit and just sell him to the caravan. And so he was sold to these guys that were going to Egypt. He ended up in Egypt. When he ended up in Egypt, all kinds of things happened to him. He finally ended up in prison in Egypt. But because of some of the things that happened to prison, he actually ended up taking care of all of the food in Egypt when there was a great famine. But think about Joseph in all of that time. You talk about somebody who could have and probably at times felt totally lost, like, God, what are you doing? You know, I was the favorite son. I was the best of the best. And here I am a slave. I mean, I'm the victim here. I didn't do anything to deserve this. But you know what? He didn't feel sorry for himself. He kept his perspective. He kept looking to where God wanted to lead him. He didn't look at other people and say, well, they did this to me, or we did that, they did that to me. And so many people today have that victim mentality. They have that mentality of what others are doing. And they go like, you know, I wouldn't feel this way if this person wasn't that way, or I wasn't in this situation. Or they may tend to be cynical and pessimistic about everything going on in life. Or they let little offenses get to them, and those little offenses, even after they should be gone in a week or two, they're still there. Or a well-meaning person tries to give some counsel or some constructive criticism, they go, you know, all they want to do is always tear me down. You know, there are people with that kind of thought process, and Joseph could have been one of those. But he chose not to. He maintained his faith. He continued in his faith. And God used him to do some extraordinary things. You know, what are we going to do when we're in the middle of tough situations? And God wants to use us. And we have a choice whether to be cynical or to hold on to our faith. Then real quick, there's a fourth person I want you to recognize. And that's Rahab. Rahab, in chapter 11, verse 31, says this, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. You know, verse 31 tells us that Rahab, she was a prostitute. I mean, she did not have a good background, let me just tell you. But God used her. By faith, it says, that Rahab, she welcomed the spies, and because of that, she was obedient to God, and God spared her life. She might say something like, look, I know you feel weighed down by your past. I know you're constantly reminded of the mistakes you've made in the past. I know you constantly feel like you're not worthy. I know you feel like, how in the world could God ever love me? But let me just tell you, God can and does. Rahab could say, if God loves me, I guarantee you God can love you. In fact, through chapter 11, you're going to find a lot of people where that is exactly the fact. They had kind of a cloudy past. Their past was not always the best. It was not always exactly what it should have been. But you know what? God used them. As a matter of fact, they're included in this chapter of the heroes of faith. You know, I was thinking about one thing that I might say to all of us. And probably what I'd say is where I began. And that is, in our walk of faith, don't give up. Hold on. Keep doing what God wants you to do. In the middle of the hard times and the struggles, hold on. And as we study this book together and as we study some things together, that's really what we're going to learn, is how do we hold on? How do we stay committed? How do we do what God wants us to do? Even in the midst of some tough struggles and tough times, even when we look around and we see society around us changing in ways that we don't like, hold on, because God is there. God, help us all to have that kind of faith. Help us to hold on to you. Help us to follow you in every way, in every part of our life, to surrender to you. And we know that you have given us hope through Christ. And that hope comes through his shed blood and our acceptance of him. And I pray that we can grow our faith as individuals and as a church community and follow you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand up. We're going to close. I thought this was a good song to close with today, Whiter Than Snow. So we're going to close with Whiter Than Snow today and sing this together. And then we're going to go out and be careful as we drive in this white snow today. Making it out this morning and braving the snow a little bit, and I hope you have a safe trip home. Make sure, put on your calendar next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, be here. It's important everybody's here, because it's important for the future of us as a church, some of the things we're going to talk about, so come and join us. Have a great week. I hope the snow doesn't keep you from doing the things you want to do today. We'll see you next Sunday.